My guest in the studio has a degree in jazz performance at the Adelaide University. For many years, she has performed and recorded, often in solo chair at jazz festivals around Australia, touring the US and performing at the Montreux Jazz Festival in America, also supporting a legion of artists on various occasions, including James Morrison, Marcia Hines, Harry Secombe, Bobby Shue, Gene Pitney, and the US's Barbara Morrison. She's recently released, I should say, her third album, On Patrol with the Jazz Police, to critical acclaim. Elizabeth Geyer, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you, Frank.
Switch you on. Now, tell us about your background, Elizabeth, because although you're not new to this radio station, some of the listeners would want to know your background. Did you have a musical family?
No. My grandmother played piano. She used to play in a hotel. She used to play piano for the diners, and she used to get incredibly nervous, so she'd always put talcum powder on her hands and everything. She found it very nerve-wracking, but she taught me piano and encouraged me when I was really little. But no, apart from her, nothing. It's strange. My father was a journalist, so he was always into writing and creating, and he still is very creative.
You grew up in Adelaide.
Yep.
What was the scene like in Adelaide? What got you into music?
Well, I was heavily involved with classical at school, just singing in the choir and the orchestras, playing trumpet in the orchestras, and then went on to do a classical trumpet degree, and part of one of the electives was jazz workshop. I had absolutely no clue about jazz. I think I was about 19 at the time, and I thought, well, I'll go along because it sounded interesting. And I went along, and it was run by this really cranky old man. I'll say his name because he's fantastic, but Hal Hall. And he just opened a whole world for me. You know, he was very grumpy, but he used to have these amazing exercises where you take one note and have to create, you know, improvise with just one note. You're only allowed one note, and it was just like playground. It was amazing. And then I just loved it so much that I changed degree and moved over to jazz and then finished it on jazz.
On Patrol with the Jazz Police. Now, I think this album is your artistic freedom taking root. It's like you can move around the world now without having to explain that you exist. I think to some people, however, that title might sound like a challenge to the establishment.
Mm.
And yet this album sort of moves back into the jazz realm a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I felt like in life and in music, it's like there are certain rules for how we should live, what kind of job, what, you know, what respectable kind of life we all should live, and there's certain rules that feels like we should follow them. And it's just easier if you follow them, where to live, what a respectable career might be, how many children, et cetera, when we should get married and so forth. And then in music, it's similar. There's always police everywhere we go. I don't know whether sometimes they're our well-meaning family, friends, or sometimes it's just our conscience, our own, well, the media, it can be any number of things which tell us, well, this is probably the way you should do it. And in music, I've always found the same thing. And in jazz, you know, they'd say, you know, you should do these certain songs and use these musicians and you should present yourself a certain way and play certain instruments more appropriate and all sorts of things. And I've just found that in life and in music, I've always been happiest when I've ignored those rules. And I guess calling it this title is kind of a reminder to myself to basically keep ignoring them or to just keep following my heart and not worry about those rules, because I'm happiest when I ignore them. Yes, it is a slightly mapped to jazz, but only in terms of the fact that I'm using a live band on the album, I think. And I love jazz. I love contemporary jazz. I love it. So, of course, that's part of who I am.
Who's on the album?
Jonathan Schwartz on bass, Nick Sasir on drums, myself on piano and horn and vocals.
This album's been a long time in the making, and indeed you do spend some months writing and perfecting your tunes, your songs. Does writing and music and lyrics come easy to you? What inspires you to be creative?
I'm fascinated with human beings. I'm just absolutely fascinated with us and just all the questions and thoughts, and it doesn't come easily to me. I spend months and months, and most of my songs, in fact all of them, have taken over a year each to write until I'm at the point where I feel really happy with them, which I know sounds really strange because other people can write great songs in 3 minutes, but I don't have that ability. But I'm very passionate about it. It's just something I love to do, and so I don't care how long it takes, basically.
Do you ever have writer's block? Like you've purposely gone to write something but nothing comes out?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, every day I write, every day when I'm in the shower I'm writing, when I'm running in the morning I'm writing, I'm writing at the piano. At my gigs, I forget an idea. I quickly put my phone on the piano and we'll record something. It's all the time, and sometimes I'll go, it's like you're going down these roads and one ends up being the wrong road and you spend 3 weeks on that road. You think, I just spent 3 weeks on that road. And you end up having to go back to where you were 3 weeks before. And yeah, it's full of writer's block, but I still, like I say, I love it, so I keep doing it.
Do you think you're a perfectionist? Is that why it takes so long?
Yes, that's part of my problem, but also I have a very specific idea of what I want, and it's just fine getting all the ingredients to that point where I feel like it's the right vision kind of thing. It just takes a long, long time for me, and I don't know why.
As I mentioned earlier, there's been this gravitational shift with your last album and this album towards a sound which has a more of a singer-songwriter sensibility to it. What was your prime influence to move in that direction? Or who was that prime influence?
I wouldn't say there's one in particular. I'd just say that I wanted to write songs because I thought, well, I can keep doing Ella Fitzgerald songs, like a second, third-rate version of songs that have already been done perfectly and beautifully, and I just sort of feel like I'm not going to be adding anything to the world if I do another version of All of Me.
And you tend to not get involved in a lot of these tribute type shows and gigs around town that you see quite often at places like The Basement. You purposely don't want to be involved with gigs like that, do you?
It's not a deliberate decision. I think I don't get asked to do them. I think that's a lot of it. But also, I'm not particularly interested. I'm very passionate about this, trying to get this thing. It's just like a constant dog at a bone with it, and I love it. And it's I've got some great musicians who are equally passionate to try and to do it. So I'm just constantly writing and bringing new songs to the gigs. And then every now and then you'll sort of work with someone different, someone new, who adds another injection to it. And it's not a deliberate decision to avoid them, no, not at all.
Are there any singer-songwriters that come to mind that you greatly admire?
Yes, I love Jonitha Brook. But I can't really think of too many in the jazz kind of style genre, if that's the right word. I don't even know what the word means anymore, but not that many. But I think of great songwriters like Jimmy Webb and people like that. But as far as this particular thing, I don't know. It's more of a desire just to express my own music rather than to try and be like somebody else.
I'm talking with Elizabeth Geyer, and we're discussing her brand new album, On Patrol with the Jazz Police. I had a conversation many years ago with saxophonist Sandy Evans, and she said to me that she considered jazz a very masculine music. Have there been hurdles for you in this music that wouldn't have been there if you were a male?
Yes, I think there have been. But I had a kind of double whammy because I started as a trumpet player, and in trumpet there were female, like girls going through university, but hardly any of them went on to do it after. And so for a while that was all I did, and well, I did a little bit of singing and piano on the side, but mainly as a trumpet player, and so then it was there as well. But I always just took the approach that you just have to be really good, try and be as good as you possibly can, and try and give them as little reason to. Yeah, I would say it is a masculine industry, I guess.
Do you ever feel as though you've got to be, when you were playing the trumpet, you actually had to be better than the guy next?
Yes,
in the section.
I really felt that. I really felt that all the way through, and still feel it now, because I feel as a singer, I really want to be a good musician, or as good a musician as I possibly can be. And I find that, yeah, I think, it's a never ending thing, but it's good because it's a motivating thing. I shouldn't beat around the bush. It's true. Yes.
As a trumpeter, to maintain your chops, so to speak, you have to practice quite a bit. How much do you practice?
These days, nowhere near enough, because I'm so focused on songwriting, and I do play the horn every day. I just make sure that I play it when I'm at the piano, just use it, and I play it on every gig as well. But not as much. But I used to practice a lot, at least an hour or 2 hours a day. Yeah,
it's making the time and then not upsetting your neighbours as well.
Oh, that's a big issue too, yes.
Lyrics aside, I particularly enjoy listening to how some of these arrangements are built to set a sort of a dramatic scene in the music. Have you purposely concentrated on that aspect of your writing, or is that something that just occurs in the recording studio?
No, it's part of the writing. I want the songs to be like stories, like they unfold, and you know, and the songs I'm writing now for my next album are even more. It's not arranged because I want it to be highly. I want improvisation to always be there. Yeah, there is arrangements where you know you want it to unfold into, say, a new key when it sort of explode into a solo. Yes.
You were asked some months ago. The Jazz and Beyond website asked you to. In fact, you were their Artist of the Month. And you provided five memorable gigs for the website as part of their Artist of the Month.
That's
high five.
That was fun.
And you named a gig, actually it was the first gig, first one you named by Scott Tinkler's band, and you said he always takes enormous risks and charges forward blazing. You take risks with your music too, but they're different kinds of risks, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd love to take the risks that he takes, but I think we all have our own thing, our own area, and I'd love to play the trumpet like Scott. You know, I think he's got such a fat sound, especially live. In fact, if I hadn't heard him live, it wouldn't have taken me to his recordings. But everyone has their own gift, if you like.
Well, I think what I was getting at there, I think, was the risks that you're taking is that the conviction that you have in your own original music rather than performing the music of the past.
Oh, I see.
You know, there's a certain element of risk in that. What's in your CD player at the moment, Elizabeth?
It's Kenny Wheeler with Mark Copeland. But they said, you've got to listen to this. And I said, who is it? And they said, it's Kenny Wheeler and Mark Copeland, and that's the only two names. And I'm just listening to it. It's beautiful.
Kenny Wheeler's just a fantastic trumpet player. Don't you love him?
I've only just started. Well, this CD is my first introduction to him, but over the years many people have said to me, have you gotten into Kenny Wheeler? And I've said, I really haven't had any. They said, you've got to get into him, you've got to hear him. And so finally I am, and I'm hooked.
Well, I can't remember the year. I think it might have been 92, 93 or something, but he played The Basement with Mark Isaacs, actually.
Really?
And I was lucky enough to catch that gig. Beautiful sound. From Here to Her.
Yes, do you want me to tell you about it?
Please.
It's just about being ourselves and not trying. We try so hard. We're always trying to, you know, be something, and then just was in a fit of, I'm not going to try anymore. This is exhausting. I'm just going to be who I am, and people can like it or lump it.
Sounds good to me. Thank you very much, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you, Frank. It's been great.